Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Today is the 13th of the 5th month, 2025. It is a Tuesday evening and the time is 22:04. My name is the Matriarch and today we will be explaining our system. Ladies and gentlemen, today we are talking about a silent, very, very silent conversation that society doesn't really have because I don't know, maybe it's a little embarrassing or I don't know why people don't really talk about it, but more people are talking about it of late and more people are focused on it of late because the pandemic can't go on like this. We can't go on like this. We can't keep pretending like the elephant is not in the room, but the elephant is in the room. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the matriarchal cycle. Now, have you ever been in a position or in a situation where somebody says that those people's husbands, right? Those people never get married. Those people never have husbands. Those people's husbands die. Those people don't know how to keep men. Those people don't know. Those people don't know. And by those people, we're talking about women. Have you ever met a family where, everybody kwa miti kwa ara, but nobody was married. Nobody was taken out. There's no those things. It's just itila everywhere. It's just itila, 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 itila. There's no jupas out of that itila. Have you ever met a family like that? Or are you from a family like that? And have you ever wondered why? Now, it's not to say that you guys are not having children. You guys are just not having husbands, right? It's not to say that you guys are infertile. You're just not having husbands. The problem here is a husband. And even if the relationship is long-term and the people are together for a while, it just never materializes to a two-parent household and they're just legitimate. Not legitimate. The term is wrong, but we would say children born out of within wedlock. It's never the situation. It's either the mother, dearest, has a child before marriage. And some of you guys, so some guys come in without children, but then you find some guys that come in also with 10 kids and the girl has one and then all together they have 11 plus the other two that are born in marriage and that's how the story rolls up until a certain stage where the man dies of mysterious deaths and that is it. She becomes a widower. Yeah, widower. Mm-hmm. A widow. A widow. She becomes a widow. And that is the fate of her mother. That is the fate of her father, her grandmother. That is the fate of every woman within her lineage. And have we ever wondered why? The number in studio is 083-288-401. That is the number in studio. We're talking about this cycle because I believe that this is a generational cycle, but there are so many other elements that we can add to it in order for us to all understand what exactly goes down within the cycle. Now, I'm not an expert. Right? So I'm giving you guys my 2 cents about what I've seen and what I've heard and what I've read so that I can just put 2 and 2 together so that you can have an understanding of some sort. So now, there are women that are born within matriarchal cycles that continue where basically the person, the head of the house is a matriarch. The person, the head of the house is a mother. You understand? There's no father in sight. And it's not because the father is bewitched or gone somewhere. Like we had a pandemic, once upon a time here in the capital city where, it was in the capital city in Ongwediva. Where most women were driving RAV4s and they were all accused of killing their husbands one way or another. It was like the trendy car. Every widow had a RAV4 and all their husbands died of mysterious deaths. Now, if they were all in one family, we would say that, hey, they know something, but they are not all in one family. They were not all friends, but that was the trend and it was happening. And it's a culture that has also continued within a couple of suburbs, here in Windhoek City. For example, Shandubala and Donkerhoek, you all know, May Elizabeth's house, you know, May Selma's house, you know, May Kandoha's house, you know, May Kabuk's house, may. But not Tate. Not Tate Tuesday's house, not Tate cell phone's house, not Tate anything's house. It's just may. Meaning that these houses were run and maintained by women. Now, when we look at the cycle in itself, right, we're talking about you were raised by a single mother, and your mother was raised by a single mother, and her mother was raised by a single mother, and her mother was raised by a single mother. You see the cycle there. It could have been because of anything. It could have been because of anything, but you in this generation, in the fifth generation of your family or in the sixth generation of your family, what happens to you is that you view the matriarch as boss. So you develop a masculine energy. So every person that is created has masculine and feminine energy. So masculine energy is the type of energy where she is the alpha male. She's the alpha male. She is the husband she's always wanted. She is the guy, right? And she's absolutely a woman. Everything about her. We're not talking about LGBTQ. No, that is something completely different. We're talking about somebody being within their feminine energy and somebody being within their masculine energy. So this masculine energy is usually get things done energy. Get things done energy is implied that men usually get things done because men are not the type of species to really entertain small talk, and they are not the types of species to be emotional, and they are not the types of species where it's let's talk and talk and talk. If you want to see that a man is really within his masculine energy, tell him your problem. If you tell him your problem and he instantly finds a solution for it, that is masculine energy, because that is a masculine thing. I think it's the dilly-dally. They don't really like the chaos that comes with listen to my pain and listen to my story. They just want to fix the story so that you are no longer bothered, and then the story is finished most. But then women, on the other hand, we want to vent and we want to express ourselves. And I think that is why most relationships crumble, because a woman actually wants to be listened to, and she wants to be listened to by the men. And she wants the men to understand the emotions, but the man is too busy trying to fix the emotions instead of really understanding that I know exactly what I need to do. I just need you to hear me. So that is in itself masculine energy. So part of masculine energy is basically just doing things because nobody else is going to do them. Many of us in this country, many of us women in this country are walking around in our masculine energy because we come from generational matriarchal systems and cycles. We come from cycles where our grandmother was a single mom. Our great grandmother was a single mom. Our great grandmother was a single mom. You don't hear any story about, oh, and tatekulu and mekulu. It's very, very, very rare. And even if it's not rare, there are two generations that are skipped. And that is why we have children out of wedlock. And then we think that we are not in matriarchal systems, because you go and get married most. You go and get married. You still have your child out of wedlock and you go and get married. And your mom had a child out of wedlock and then she goes and get married. Now you think that no. In general, I was raised in a two-parent household. Because you went there at the age of two, at the age of three, you didn't really see anything. You've always seen this setting. But behavior of Mamzela. What was the behavior of Mamzela? And what type of man was she with? Now, when we look at that, when we look at what behavior was mother in and what behavior was father in, we would see the imbalance instantly. Because if your mom is the go-getter, right? The go-getter is the person that basically makes a lot of decisions, and your dad just chooses to sit and read the newspaper, right? Then who is really honestly leading the house? She's leading the house. But she doesn't get that from just waking up and thinking like, oh no, I should just do this. It's because she has had to be the only one that shows up. It's that showing up that, kind of just, messes us up. Is that showing up for ourselves that we had to do constantly throughout our lives, knowing that nobody is going to come for us. Nobody is going to come and save us. Nobody is going to move a mountain. Nobody is coming, and the only person that is going to come most probably is your mother. And the only person that's going to come for your mother is most probably her mother. And the only person that's going to come for your great-grandmother is most probably her mother. And this is what had set the tone. A lot of women are walking around in masculine energy because they are doing masculine things. They are, one, they are parenting children that they're not supposed to be parenting alone. They are taking care of extended family that they're not supposed to be taking care of. They are taking care of their own families that they're not supposed to be taking care of alone in any way. Now, one would think that, no, it's because of the high unemployment rate, men are not stepping into their masculinity. But in all honesty, I don't think men are not stepping into their masculinity because of unemployment. I think that men are not stepping into their masculinity because they were raised by women. They were raised by women that were alone. They were raised by women that had to teach them how to be men in a woman way. So you're going to be a man, but you're going to be a man in a woman's way. And this was also brought by the absent fathers. The absent fathers is a pandemic that we are still trying to fight today. That's why we are being nice to our husbands. We are being nice to them, our boyfriends. We are being nice to them because we don't want the absent father's syndrome. And what happens is that when he divorces you, he divorces the children as well. And who stays? It is the woman. It is the mother. If he decides to check out today, who stays? Who is still running the show? Mother. Now, what do children look at when they see that? They see most now strong, resilient. I find it odd when men say things like, I don't want to date a single mother, or I don't want to date a woman that has children. I find it odd, not because it is not their preference and it is not their right. I find it odd because I would like to know what happened for them to have a picture of that. And even when they say they want to show up in their masculine energy within their relationships, where they are having children, one firstborn, both sides, right? Do they really show up as the masculine they are supposed to show up as? Or do they show up as unavailable? Ladies and gentlemen, there are different tasks that we are allocated as masculine and as feminine, right? And I believe that right now, the most difficult thing is to step into a feminine energy when the world is showing you flames. The world is showing so many flames. There's no way you can go to a critical, you are going to a critical thinking kind of job where you have to use your mind all the time, and also you have to constantly fight against gender equality, gender roles, against people that are getting higher pays, against people that are white, and it's all because of your gender. And then you come down and tone it down to, no, I can't hear, like, oh, like, ah, there's a power struggle there. Because for starters, as a feminine, when you're in your feminine energy, you're not supposed to be fighting. You're supposed to be gentle. You're supposed to be calm. You're supposed to be loving. You're supposed to be soft. But how do you become soft when your mother has never been soft? How do you become soft when all your aunts, are exactly the same as your mom? So your mom is not married and has children, and her sisters also. Same WhatsApp group. And then they are brothers. Same WhatsApp group. And the worst part about the brothers is that they are not taking care of children. How do you then How do you then say that you are stepping within your masculine energy when your masculine energy in itself was also supposed to be a protector? The dynamics around a matriarchal cycle, a generational matriarchal cycle, is intense because with somebody that comes from this. Everybody, we're all trying to improve ourselves as we go. We're all trying to improve ourselves. We're all trying to find this balance so that we can somehow break the curses and break the generational what-whats and break the generational this. And we are trying, right, to step into unknown terrain because it is intentionally stepping into it. We want. There's no woman in this world that doesn't want to be pampered and taken care of. There's no woman in this world that doesn't want to be a soft. But there are certain women, right, that would die if they had nothing to do because all they know is doing something. They all know how to work hard. They all know how to put things in place. They all know how to make things happen. Now, when a man comes into the life of this kind of woman, this man has to be extremely patient because he has to understand that this person, all their entire lives, right, they've been doing things for everybody. They have been the father in their household. This woman has been the father in their households without the title. And now a man comes in and says, like, no, you want to be soft life and you want to be what? You should be these things. How are you going to be these things if you have never seen them? And even if you have seen them, right, it is in such a rare occasion because it doesn't last, because even the auntie that is supposed to be living in a soft life, right, has elements of masculinity. Now, I'm not saying that we should throw away masculinity in its entirety. I'm saying we need to acknowledge that we have masculinity and acknowledge that we need to step into a space where we are capable of being soft, we are capable of being kind, we're capable of letting somebody else drive, right? And trust that you're going to arrive okay. Now, a woman that is from this cycle usually does things herself. So you are in a relationship with this girl and you guys live together and you're watching TV, right? You're watching TV and then the bulb in the room fuses. So she comes out and she says, "Habibi, the bulb in the room fused." So now she's like, okay, the bulb in the room fused. But also what she's not saying or conveying is that the bulb in the room fused and I was busy with work and I need the bulb so that I can do my work and I can finish up with this and. She doesn't say this. She just says that the bulb in the room fused. So you are busy on the couch and you're doing whatever. You might be relaxing. You might be unwinding. You might be watching TV or you might also be deep in thought. She tells you this once and you don't get up instantly. You don't get up instantly because, I mean, one, you're not a slave and two, okay, so you're unaware of the things that are happening inside the room anyways because it was not made known to you also. So you sit and you chill. And then in 2 minutes, right, when you turn around and you're like, oh, let me go and put in this bulb, you get there and the bulb is fixed already. And now you might get mad. You might get mad because this becomes a habit. This becomes a habit where she just does things like, oh no, me, I'm going to town. Like, I'm going to town and I'm just going to do this and I'm just going to do that. And there's no, oh my goodness, can you drive me? She's just does things herself, right? And you start being annoyed by this because you would like to assist. You would like to help. And also, it's just not feminine for you to paint your whole entire house yourself, ma'am. You know, it's just not feminine. Like, especially if you're living with a man, it's just not feminine for you to wake up on Saturday morning, and you're washing the car. Like, oh, it's just not feminine for you to be the gardener. Not unless you're planting your flowers and your herbs and stuff, but really just mowing the lawn and putting in interlocks. Those things are most now categorized as manly things. But then you find You find women that come from the matriarchal system, that come from a system of, we can do it. And we're doing it, right? Because there's nobody else that's going to come and do it anyways. So let's just do it. There's no offense in it. And there's also no, I'm doing it because I'm being spiteful. There's no, I'm doing it because he's taking too long. It's really just not about you. It's just that I can fix the bulb. That's it. It's not a thing of, I asked you already 10 times. And, oh, if you're asked 10 times and somebody goes and does it the 11th time, then most probably it's a you thing. But then, in most cases, it's just because of where we grew up. It's just because of what we saw. It's just because of how the system was. Now, grandmother, if you look at your grandmother is the one that is in charge of Oshiedere. My great-grandmother used to, bless her soul, my great-grandmother used to have a house of, let's say, 20 to 25 people. And I can tell you now that every single person in that household slept on a full belly. And when they are coming from wherever they are coming from, they go conjugo and they receive ulalero. So they receive their dinner by my great grandmother Kukukheriv. They receive their dinner and she says Skepnetsua, and that is how she was known, you know, Kucha, the matriarch of the house. And also, funny enough, my grandmother also went into the same routine, and then my mother went into the same routine. Now with my mom, it's different because we are most now living in town and there's most now no ombigairi konduda. But she's also in a household that she accommodates people. And this is something that came from her great grandmother because this is how she grew up. I've never heard anybody say anything about my great grandmother's husband. Never. Never, never. Even my great grandmother's mother's husband. Never. Nekoto? Nope. Nope. Nobody has said anything about the husbands. And the women that come from there are usually strong. They're known to be strong. They're because they have to be strong. You have to be strong if you're the only one there for yourself. If you're the only one that is breadwinner. If you're the only one that is, you have to be strong. Now, there was this study that was, what is it? I was reading up about the alpha male because I wanted to initially come and talk about the alpha male because many of us go around telling other people that we are alpha female and we are alpha male and we are alpha, but we don't understand the dynamics of an alpha. We don't understand the dynamics of the word alpha. We throw terms around loosely ever so often and we don't actually dive deep into the actual meaning of things and the dynamics of, for example, alpha within a human society. So when we talk about an alpha male, and we're talking about it from the wolf pack, right? There's an alpha, there's a beta, and there's an omega, and there's a what? There's another one as well. And this is the hierarchy. Now, every species has a hierarchy. Every single species has a hierarchy, and all of their hierarchies have alpha. Right? Alpha is top dog. Now, when we think about top dog, right? When we think about alpha, we think about leader. We think about being fierce. We think about, being resilient. We think about being strong. But is that really the dynamics of an alpha when it comes to human terms? Because in being an alpha, ladies and gentlemen, in leading a pact of people or in leading a family, right? You can be an alpha, but you need to be gentle. You can't just be resilient and you can't just be strong. Alphas in the animal kingdom are known to be ruthless. They are known to be protectors, right? They are the ones that go for the fight and they protect the young and the women and the other people that are in their pack. They are known to be fighters, right? But in a human context, is that what an alpha is supposed to be? Are you an alpha? Are you an alpha female? Are you an alpha male? Most women want to come and say, yeah, I'm an alpha female because, you know, I get things done. But is an alpha female a good thing? Is dismissing your gender in order to take up the role of another gender really advisable in a world that is so gender fluid? And it's so, we're just rolling with the sun. Everybody can be whatever they want. And we are doing this. So now let's go to, we are moving on from the matriarchal cycle, but we are still within the conversation, right? But we are also going to take a quick break and I will be right back on the other side of our advertisement break. So please stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, and don't forget to call in if need.
Tired of being stuck in queues or left on hold? Our online sign-up lets you get the connection you need in just a few minutes. Simply head to paratus.africa/Namibia and press the online sign-up button. Then choose from our exciting ranges of fiber, Sky-Fi or mobile LTE products. Fill in the application form and you're already done. Of course, you'll also enjoy free installation on your new package. Sign up online today to enjoy effortless connectivity.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the matriarchal cycle. We're talking about that generational curse, apparently. It's not a bad thing, but it's not ideal either. It has its pros and it has its cons. I would say that part of the advantages of being in a matriarchal cycle or having a generational matriarchal cycle is that you understand your value as a person, not just a woman, because you don't really identify with gender, but you understand your purpose, your role, you are self-aware, and also you have a sense of worthiness because of the responsibilities bestowed upon you by your family and by your clan. Those are part of the advantages. The advantages is that there is a lot of harmony when it comes to the people that depend on you. You might not have harmony, but the people that depend on you, they have a sense of having somebody that always comes through, that is reliable, that is for the family structure. Your mother Moss, that one is the one that is reliable. So I would say that the matriarchal cycle has ruined many of us because it has ruined many of us because then we don't know how to be within a cycle that is supposed to be either both roles must pick up their pieces or letting somebody else lead. And part of this is even the role of taking care of children. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have an argument today with your husband and you decide that, okay, let's say you've been having arguments and you decide on a divorce, the person that gets the children is the mother. Up until the children are 18, it is the mother. But the question is why? It is because society doesn't think. It's because society doesn't think that men are capable of actually raising children. And also society says that men are emotionally incapable of raising children, they say. And also that women are more likely to be the ones to raise them. So let's give them that opportunity. But it's not always the case. It's not always the case because I think that the roles in themselves have just been so, I think that we have taken away, right? To some degree, as a society now, we have taken away the roles of fathers in children's lives because men have been known to be very silent. So if you look at a village household and your father comes from wherever he's coming from, you guys go and eat with your father. You understand? But you don't hang out with him. You don't get to know him. And as a result, you guys just think that he is this monster or this very strict guy. And also when your mother is using threats, she uses him as a threat. And this grows now the fear that you as a child might have for this man that did absolutely nothing to you. And you didn't even give him an opportunity to show you, because your mind has been tilted and tainted from the very beginning. So now we go to the women that were raised in matriarchal cycles, and then we go to the men that were raised in matriarchal cycles. The men that were raised in matriarchal cycles, I believe that they want gentle women. They want gentle women that can be in their feminine energy, that live in their feminine energy, that bask in their feminine energy. They want this, or they think they want this. But what usually happens is that this is what a slay queen is. But a practical woman is a strong woman. A practical woman, like the woman that you must have on your team. If you are a guy out there and you have two choices, right? You have two choices on who you are going to marry, because now it's time to get married to somebody. And you have got these two girlfriends. You've got a slay queen and you have an ordinary Elizabeth. And you are looking at things. I want you guys to also look at the families that they come from. The families that they come from and how these women treat the men and what happens to the men within the family. These are things that, this is background check and homework that you guys must do. But many of us don't do this because we are so in love. It's like, oh, so my baby, eh? I love you so much. And that's just it. We just stay there. So men say that they want the gentle woman. Men say they want the soft woman. Men say they want the one that's like a pillow. Like, oh, you know, you shout small, small, and then she cries, and then she calls you tate, you know, just to boost your ego. But in practical sense, to be honest, I've never seen a man that marries a soft woman that is actually happy and taken care of. They usually marry the resilient, strong ones, the ones that have gone through a lot. Because the more you go through, ne, the less empathy you have, because you have other things to worry about. Because you have gone through these things and you just can't, you anticipate, okay, get over it, get over it, get over it. And that's why you find that, if you are going to go and complain, to your boss, for instance, about your emotions, the likelihood of your boss entertaining your emotions for a very long time is slim. It's very, very slim, because this person is at the top of the hierarchy and the alpha, right? This is the person that's on top of the hierarchy. And on top of the hierarchy, you have to make sure that this pyramid is standing. Now, can you make sure that this pyramid is standing when you have to worry about Elizabeth's red mascara and Elizabeth's burgundy lipstick? And do you have time for that? So at the end of the day, your tolerance level to empathy also just shrinks. So now you find the slay queen, and you find the we'll call her the strong woman. The strong woman is the one that knows how to hold a house down. She's the one that you can trust with leaving your children. So if you die tomorrow and your strong woman wife is is the one that is left behind, you are not going to be rolling in your grave, because you know that she can handle business. You know that because she's got an element of masculine energy. She walks in this masculine energy, and also she comes from a lineage of masculine energy, because she comes from a matriarchal hierarchy where they get things done. So at the end of the day, your children are not going to be in a situation where they're going to be dropped at the doorsteps of a church or a police station because this person is incapable of taking care of these children. No, they are going to be just fine. They are going to be okay. And it's that, and that is part of the good things that come from a person or a woman that was raised within a matriarchal cycle, because life continues. Life continues and things are still done. And in these things that are still done and life continuing, right? There is also a lot of resilience, and there's also a lot of strength, and there's also a lot of buckle up. Right? Because you need to buckle up if you're going to be driving long distances, any distances. Yeah, as long as you're in a car and it's moving, buckle up. And that is what a strong woman is. Now, a slay queen is the ultimate fantasy. Every man wants a woman that is soft. You want it, but it's not what you're gonna go for, because men are practical. Men are practical, and men really do think of tomorrow. And if you are, for instance, this cat slay queen, everything just like all you want to do is look pretty. You don't want to do nothing. You don't want to go to school. You don't want to work. You just want to stay at home. You want, after every 2 years, you want vows renewed and throw a party, and that's just your life. The likelihood, right, of you getting wifed up is very, very slim. I say this because of ancient day prostitutes. Ancient day prostitutes, let's go to prostitutes from the 90s in this country. Women that were known to be sexually promiscuous in this country. We know them. We know them. We know your grandmothers. Yeah, we know your grandmothers, etc. Women that were known to be sexually promiscuous, right? Or accommodated men. The me Elizabeths, me Nanguras, you know, those ones. They were gentle. They were soft. And they were leeching. And they gave this man the illusion of power. This illusion of power is that whatever you say, no matter how wrong it is, right? You are brilliant. Now, these men, they liked it. That is why your grandfather or your father came from Kumbada and didn't divorce your mother, because he doesn't want to go and see her in court, right? He didn't divorce your mother, but he went to go and live with me in Angura the whole time, and then ate up his whole entire money, whatever money he got from the UN, went to eat all that money up with me in Angura, because me in Angura is nice and soft. Me in Angura makes him feel nice. Me in Angura gives him that je ne sais quoi. Me in Angura makes him feel like a mountain. You, your mom, does not make him feel like a mountain, because she comes from a place where, like, we must be practical here. Hmm? The reason we must be practical here. And practicality in itself is not really, something that, the energy, that masculine energy is not really something that you get in necessarily the dynamics of a two-parent household. It's not really something that you have to get, or you get, because in a two-parent household, this one that's the head, the other one is the tail, you know, we follow together, you know, or the neck and the head, and they make decisions together, or it just all looks like it's just one person's decisions, and we don't know. I wouldn't know. It's up to you, ladies and gentlemen, to come through and then also give me a few pointers, you know, give me a few pointers. I can't talk about your two-parent household because I don't come from a situation like that. But what I do know is that most men marry strong. Rich men marry dumb and pretty. Dumb and pretty and soft. That's what they marry. They don't really, they don't marry people that are going to fight back. They don't marry people that are going to, tell them that they are wrong. They don't marry like that, like rich men. And it's usually because, somewhere along the way, there was a divorce that happened with a strong woman. Mm. Just think about it. Think about it. Mm. Young entrepreneurs, right? Young entrepreneurs, when they get married, they don't get married to soft. They get married to somebody that they have come from the bottom with all the way to the top. And even if it's going to divorce, right? They will most probably go for a soft one. But the soft one is just for show. That's why we call them a trophy. Yeah, the soft one is just for show. And if he goes and gets married to a strong one, then he wants to stay in the relationship. He wants to build something. If this woman is a woman that is not taking whatever nonsense you are throwing, right? Everything is not taking the nonsense that you're throwing, then she's a strong woman, because now she has grounds. Whoa, 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 whoa. Like, but this one is wrong. This one is not going the way it's supposed to be going. And this is how the rich guys, the rich senior guys, they marry young. They marry not so smart. Or, yeah, they marry young, not so smart, and soft, right? But it's not always like that, but it looks like that. It seems like this. They marry a dependent. Now you find there are senior men that go and marry strong as well, strong and resilient, but then there it's not because of peace and whatever. It's because like I've always liked strong, because I come from strong and I see strong, even though she's younger than me. That's what I see. So I hope you guys are, learning. I hope you guys are catching my drift here, because I'm trying to explain it in the best way possible. I've been thinking about this the whole day. I've been thinking about it, and I've been trying to put it in such a way that we grasp what is being said. And we don't offend, and we don't hurt your feelings, but we also don't baby you. So I've been trying to see how exactly I'm going to put it. And this is for me as logical as it gets. The one that wants to be at home, living soft, and you bring home the bacon. Now this is the illusion, right? The girls that in a state of wanting to be soft and being provided for, because their mothers were provided for by their fathers, right? There is a break there, because they are also the same women that stay in abusive situations. They are the same women that leave the divorce with nothing. They are the same women that are signing prenuptial agreements with people that have zero. And they go and make, right? They go and they have zero. And then they sign a prenuptial agreement on the secretary. Like, I just want to know that you're not with me for my money. And you think that, yeah, my looks are going to be everything. I'm obviously not with you for the money. And then your looks fade, and this person wants to walk away, and they also want to walk away with all their things, and they have wasted 10 to 15 years of your life, and you have to now start over without a penny. And it's because we are signing the agreement, because we are in our soft girl era. We are in our soft girl era, and we don't think that we're ever going to be hard, and we're ever going to be in a situation when somebody just jedis us and uppercuts us and pulls us over and throws us in the mud, because we're so pretty right now and our boobs are never gonna sag. That's what the soft girl thinks. The soft girl thinks that it's absolutely okay for her to fully depend on her man. It's not a problem to depend on your man, but depend on your man realistically. The reason that women in this day and era are working so hard and trying so hard to not be, to have their own money, right, is because men have shown that they use the money, ne, against them. They have seen women You are coming from a mansion. You're going to live in Babylon. Yo, that is a lifestyle dip then. But because you don't have nothing and your efforts were not seen and recognized, right? That it is what it is. Now also, we had a conversation with Bibi Boy's, attorney. We had a conversation with her and we were talking about divorce, right? And we're talking about what happens within the divorces. And a part of the problems of divorce, or part of the dynamics around a divorce when it comes to the soft girl and the gentleman, is that the soft girl never sees it coming. And the soft girl is also not protected. Now, if you are a person that intentionally chooses to be a soft girl, you know, you're going to be in your feminine energy, you know, you're just going to be, you're going to be doing lifestyle things. If you go and search up the concept of a soft girl, right? Soft girl era. You'll see that it was something that was created by the Gen Z. It was a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle program, or it's a lifestyle thing that was created by the Gen Zs to encourage women to step into their feminine energy. And their feminine energy has nothing to do with actually working. It has nothing to do with creating legacies. It has nothing to do with nothing. It's just a gang of girls on Instagram taking pictures and going on holidays and buying handbags and just being happy. You know, just being happy. It's spa days, it's treats, it's cooking for their men, it's lunch prepping for lunch. It's just these things. Now everybody, it's like there's no woman that doesn't want to be that. It's just that some of us are incapable of that. Some of us are incapable of walking in feminine energy because unfortunately our whole lives have pushed out the masculine energy within us. It has pushed it to the forefront so much because we've had to be our own fathers. We have had to be our own uncles. We have had to be our own protectors and our own providers at the same time. Imagine being beaten up and you are the one that has to reprimand. Eh, kucha. Eh, no, I am calling the police and I'm doing this and I'm doing that because nobody is coming for you. Imagine that. Now, does that not build a sense of resilience? Does that not build a sense of let's get things done? That's where it comes from. Imagine watching your mother get beaten up and this is the life in which you are living. Part of it really honestly says that I never want to be in a situation like this. I don't want that. And you look at your mother and you see her flaws. You see her flaws, and part of her flaws, right, is that she is incapable of getting out. And this incapability is the same incapability that you don't want to be in. So it is being incapable to get out because she's got 5 kids with this guy. Being incapable to get out because he's the one that is the breadwinner. Being incapable to get out of this situation because he is going to kill you. Because being incapable of getting out of this situation for various reasons. And now those reasons are the ones that children look at and they say, I don't want to be like that. I want to be everything that my mother is. My mother is the most gentle woman in the world. She's quiet and soft-spoken, but I don't want to be in a situation like her. And now your mother eventually decides to leave, right? And then that is now the wake-up. The wake-up call. And in your next relationship, you are so triggered that it's not just real issues that ruffle your feathers, right? It's even the smallest issues that trigger you to take you to a place where you thought you healed from. And those little things are the same ones that make you abandon relationships that are not bad. And you never go back to the relationship to reevaluate if it was really as bad as you thought it was, or you didn't evaluate it correctly because you come from a matriarchal cycle. where you don't take nonsense avati from anyone. Don't take nonsense from anyone. You do things yourself. You just listen. You don't listen to nothing because nothing is going to go. Like if that is what you are, then you can now evaluate and ask yourself, that other relationship with Jimmy, when Jimmy raised his voice, is raising the voice really that bad? Or is it because it triggered me into taking me to a space where I thought I was trapped? And because I have seen it so many times with so many generations, right? I thought that this was the correct thing to do. Because there's no way, right, that you can live in a family where majority of the women in your family are not married and see it as not normal. You have to see it as normal. It is what it is. You have to see it as normal. It's just the same way as the person that sees drinking as normal. Everybody does it because everybody in my family does it. So eventually you would see it as normal. And every single time you get into an argument, even the smallest one, part of your reflex and part of your DNA and body and shadow, right? Because we are doing Carl Jung's shadow work. Part of it runs back to a familiar place. And that familiar place is the same one that makes you step out of relationships before they start burning. And you don't even know if it is going to burn or not. You just anticipate the worst because you come from the worst. Because it is the way it is. If you ask why Auntie Dearest was not married, if you ask why Mother Dearest was not married, if you ask why Grandmother Dearest was not married, if you ask why Great Auntie was not married, if you ask these questions, then you will see a pattern. And this pattern is the same pattern that you eventually have to break as a woman in order for you to step into your feminine energy. You will always have a dash of masculine energy because, unfortunately, it is who you are. But the masculine energy is not bad. The masculine energy is bad when you overstep your boundaries. And overstepping your boundaries is being an alpha male in an alpha male system. In a system that already has an alpha male, you can't be an alpha male. And you can't be an alpha woman, an alpha female, because there's no such thing. An alpha female is a term that is created to make you feel a little better about being masculine. To make you feel a little better about getting things done, to be a breadwinner, to be provider, to be all these things, to be protector. The only time in your feminine life that you ever have to protect, right, is when the protector is not there. And when the first line of defense has cracked, then you can go into protector mode. But apart from that, you trust most. You trust that you're making the correct decision by taking the spouse that you are taking. And you know that this spouse will protect you. This spouse will provide for you. This spouse will come through for you and you can trust them. You can love them and they've got your back. Now, the reason that women are so trapped in their masculine energy is because men are flaky. Men are unreliable. Men are inconsistent and men check out. They check out of children's lives. They check out of women's lives. They check out of families' lives. They check out. They go ghost. If they don't want to see their children in 10 years, right? Then so shall it be. If they don't want to visit their children or to be visited by their children in 10 years, then so shall it be. But this doesn't happen with mothers. Mothers come through for their kids. And this is what we have to learn. It is not about the woman, but it is mostly the inconsistency that comes with you as a parent when it comes to the male. You as a parent. So now you as a parent, you decide that this relationship is not working out anymore. And I'm out. Say now you were married to a woman that is in her soft girl era. And it didn't work out for one reason or another. You could have found something younger and better. No, we don't know. Or you could have really genuinely not liked a few things that your wife did. Your wife could have been stealing from you, you know. And because women are also just as cruel as men. And we don't take that away from them at all. Like never. And you let go. You let go of the relationship and this soft woman, right? She's now left with the kids. Or better yet, you prove that she's incapable of being with the kids because she doesn't have an income, what, right? And you claim that you are the better parent, what. And then she's left without the kids. What happens to her? If not her stepping into masculine energy. There is no woman that has ever been hurt, right? That doesn't step into masculine energy. Women step into masculine energy because they see that soft girl thing, man. That soft girl things. Many of us don't know how to be that soft girl. To be honest, I don't know. How do you expect me, the child of a soldier, to be soft? Like, I don't even know how to talk soft. Like, I try. Like, recently I'm most now. I'm trying, you know, to like, baby. I'm trying. Eh? But deep down inside, I'm just screaming then inside. I was there talking loud. I don't like it when other people do it, but inside there, I'm also just talking loud, my dear. Because, like the soft girl thing, no, I don't know. I can't place myself in it. But, as time is going, I'm starting to understand myself and I'm starting to evaluate or research new avenues for me as a woman because I'm almost in my mid-30s. Next year, I'm 35. This year, I'm 34. I'm stepping into my Zali phase, you know, and I need to understand myself in order for me to make my home work, in order for me to make this that I'm trying to build work. And the only way I can understand this is if I understand my origins. Now, when I stumbled upon the matriarchal cycle, it made so much sense. It made so much sense because it is so draining. It is so draining to be playing both parts. And it's not because it's what you want. It is because it's what you are used to. One. And you can't really just break that cycle, right? And also it's because it is what is expected of you. It's what is expected of you by society, by your man, by your family, by your children, everybody. Everybody expects you to be in both these energies at the same time. Like, talk to me like a woman, but show me like a man, you know? Come through for me like a man, but talk to me like a woman, you know? Nurse my wounds like a woman, but talk to me like a male doctor. It's like there are these double standards of what we're supposed to be. And it's hella confusing. But the only energy that is really truly secure for a woman that comes from a long line of single women, right? Single, it's not just that they don't get married. Like, I'm talking about, like, with us, right? And I'm not bashing you people, cousins that are listening to me. I'm not bashing us, right? I'm painting the obvious. When I look at my heritage, my cycle, and the women that birthed me and their lineage, right? I don't see women that don't get married. No. Our women get married. Our women are married off. Our women go, you know? And that's a good thing. Especially within African culture. It's at least, you know, like, I dodged the bullet there. I was like, oh, okay, cool. You know, some even tasted marriage like 2 to 3 times. It's like, wow, one person. You know, you are struggling to get this one marriage and somebody has been married 3 times. You're like, in this Namibia. My goodness. Wow. But when I look in my cycle and I look at the women in my family, I see divorce. The women in my family divorce. They leave. They don't get divorced. The men don't leave. What happens is that they leave because they are incapable of taking abuse. And that one is, it's deep. It's deep because they come from a generation, or many of them come from generations where we're supposed to take a blind eye, you know? When bad things happen, right? You are supposed to, like, just pretend that you are happy and everything is fine. But when somebody's trying to kill you with a gun, you have to let it go, Moss. So, from my lineage, right? My lineage has divorced women. My lineage has women that can't handle abuse. They can't just stay. You know? One side you are saying, oh, you don't want to wish anybody to be inside something that's hurting them. But you're like, but other women also stay. Like, but you're not trying to be that girl because, you know, we are most trying to be supportive and stuff. But they leave. And that is how our matriarchal cycle is formed. Our matriarchal cycle is formed up of women that are incapable of staying with men that are aggressive. Staying with men that are abusive. Because all of the divorced women within my family, they all ran from abuse. Mainly, right? Physical abuse. The women in my family are not abusive in terms of physically. It was only my grandmother. Shoot them back. Woo! Like, but it was also only towards her children. Also. It was also only towards her children, but she's known to be, my youngest aunt describes her mom as somebody that was short-tempered. Now, I don't know why I didn't put two and two together, but also it was maybe not my moment, and it was also maybe beyond my young mind's imagination to ever imagine my grandmother as a person that is short-tempered. But it makes sense because You can't beat somebody until they break if you are not having an anger issue somewhere. But where does this anger issue come from? It comes from her first marriage, most probably. Because everybody says that she was very lovely, right? Prior to this marriage. Now this marriage came from with an older guy. And this older guy is now my mom's dad, right? This older guy that had two other wives. So she was the youngest wife, and also she's a young wife, so she's chatty. Just don't, like, why? Why must we do that? Like, look, you know? And it is said that my grandfather was very, like, he beat, like he was abusive, right? And my grandmother couldn't stand for this. She's like, ah, nah, I'm out. One day she just decided she's going to run. Like legit, she's going to run. And she ran and she ran and she ran and never looked back. And then one day in the midst of the sunlight and everything, she decided that, you know what? I'm going to be tough and resilient. I'm going back to that house, right? And I am going to take my child. My mother describes her father as a very gentle man. A very gentle man that doesn't beat kids. Like, only beats big women, you know, and big men, but no kids. And he was very loving. And to some degree, she resents her mother for taking her from her dad's house. But my grandmother came to steal her child back, because that was her only child, by the way. And she stayed with that child for a very long time. There's such a big gap between the children. Now, there are so many similarities between the, like, the women in every, in every age. Let's not say generation, you know, there are so many similarities, because also even with my great grandmother, same situation. My great grandmother was also in an abusive situation, and then she decided to flee, and then she fled, and then she stayed with her child that was hella older than all the other kids that came after her. So prior to that, my great-great-great-grandmother, same WhatsApp group. And then my grandmother, same WhatsApp group. And then here, you know, we're not putting people's dirty laundry out there, but here also, same situation. So this is, I'm just trying to explain, right? I'm trying to explain a cycle that you won't be able to see if you don't dive deep within your lineage and dive deep within your family situation. You can only come up with these theories if you listen to the elders talking, and if you ask questions, and also if you just evaluate. Now, if you ask yourself, okay, so I don't know any of our women that got married, and then ask them. Because maybe you are trying to break a generational curse. Maybe you want to be the first one that is going to get married in your family, but also your relationships are not working out, right? Your relationships are not working out, and it just seems like it's not getting there. Now this is a conversation. This is a Tuesday evening. This is a conversation for the women, and this is a conversation for the men as well, to hear how we are processing and thinking, because we are not just thinking that we want to be these mean girls to you guys, and these soft girls to you guys, and these detrimental girls to you guys. We're also self-reflecting and becoming self-aware. So in our self-awareness, we're also realizing that there are certain things that we need to change. We need to walk in intention in certain things, and we need to be careful with certain things. And part of the things that we are talking about is also just understanding what type of relationships did the women have in your matriarchal cycle? Or not even women, but what type of relationships did your matriarchal cycle have from generation to generation to generation? And if in any way you can relate to any of their relationships, I'm talking about your great grandmother and her sisters, your great grandfather, your great grandmother and her sisters, your mother and her sisters, you and your sisters. I'm talking about, what do you guys have in common? What are the similarities? Like right now, I've noticed also within this conversation that ons hardloop, we're runners. But the problem is that we don't go so deep into conversations with our elders to understand why they ran. We just take it that running is the thing. We take it that we need to run if danger presents itself. Now, we don't live in the same times, right? We don't live in the same times. So when we say danger, for us in our times in contemporary Namibia, our danger is different. Our danger is gambling addiction, bro. It's traumatic experiences. It's mental disorders. Our danger, right, is not only physical abuse and emotional abuse. It's not just limited to what they were subjected to, but it is so broad right now. We don't know what it looks like. Now people are saying things like the relationships of these days or the marriages of these days, they don't last. They don't last because the women now are not like the grandmothers of back in the day. And yeah, you're right. The women of our days are not like the grandmothers of back in the day. Because the grandmothers of back in the day were not dating the same species of men. Or different, they were dating a different breed of men. And by different breed, I mean positive and negative. If you were being physically abused in ancient time, you are not walking around with bruises. You're not walking around with a blue eye. No, 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 no. You're not walking around with a blue eye. You're not walking around with a broken arm. You're not walking around with a gunshot wound. No. In ancient times, you're walking around with sore thighs and a sore back and a sore stomach because you need to be hit where it doesn't reflect because we don't want the neighbor to know. In ancient times, the abuse was quiet because loud was embarrassing. You become embarrassed for being beaten and the person that is beating becomes embarrassed for people knowing that they beat. So it is quiet. In contemporary times, it is loud. Because in contemporary times, you don't get beaten. You get killed. You get slaughtered. And this is at the front page of every single newspaper. And you can't tell me nothing about it because it is our reality. So the women here and the women here, most probably they are all in an abusive situation, but at least woman A knows that he's not going to kill me. Woman B doesn't know that. No, woman B doesn't know that because woman B is also not dealing with a man like woman A. Woman A is dealing with a primitive man, a cultured man, violent, yes, but also standing in his role. And also part of it is that most of these men, they come from homes, right, where they lived with both their parents. And they most probably saw this, but they also saw the structure of it. Now, we are dealing over here with men that have never seen men loving women, like, period. We only see it on telenovelas. They've never seen gentle loving. They've never seen any kind of loving at all. And you can come and tell me about your life, your perfect life, or let's not even patronize your life, right? You can come and tell me about your life where you grew up watching your father loving on your mother. Or your grandfather loving on your grandmother. Please do. 083-2888-401. That's the number in studio. Come through and come and talk about their love story. Because it seems as if there are no love stories here. There are love stories where we see it in the end. Have you ever seen old people that are so in love with each other. Number one, you never ever assume that these people just got married. Never. Why? Because they are old. We assume that every single old person that is with another old person, they've been together for 50 years and I want that. Oh my God, I want that. I also want my soulmate like that. But these people, they just met at the old age home now and they decided to get hitched and spend the rest of their lives, what's left of it, in happiness and in bliss. We never ever assume that old people just recently got married. Why? Because old people get married at court and as we get married at the churches, we'll never bump into each other. Yo, never bump into each other. Old people wear suits and a two-piece. You wear a wedding gown and a suit that is, I don't know, Saki Shangala suit. Yeah, that's what you wear. There's just no way you guys are going to bump into each other to go and see the blossoming of an old people love. There's no way. So we assume that every single old person that we meet in the streets, they have been married for ages and love is just such a beautiful thing. And also, right? At some point, the old people just start to lie also. Like, yeah, we're together for 30 years now. Eh? We're together for 30 years. And you think that, oh wow, I want that. But what do I know? That's an auntie that came to ruin your evening. We're talking about your life. We're talking about my life. We're talking about the systems that we miss along the way. We're talking about the cycles that we miss along the way because we don't want to interpret our lives and we don't want to see ourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, look at, if you want to see your patriarchal cycle, for example, right? Because these last few minutes, we're going to be talking about the patriarchal cycle. And also, it's difficult, right? It's difficult to be in your feminine energy. When you have been in your role the whole entire time. When nobody has ever stepped in to come and help you, right? Like, I want you to be gentle with your wives. Please. Especially the wives that don't have fathers. I want you guys to be nice to them. I want you guys to be gentle to them. Because, it's not easy. It's not easy. We are battling here. We are asking ourselves, must I call him first? That one was a battle for me. Eh? Must I call him first? Because I'm already awake, must I just wait? Oh my God. Because I'm already awake, I must just call Moss. Like, am I going to seem desperate? Is this lady like? Eh? Like, am I going to end up making him feel like I'm courting him or I'm pursuing him or what? Like, it is always a conversation. My God. Because we don't know what we are supposed to be doing. Because all the women in front of us, this is what they've shown us. And it's not their fault, right? It's not their fault. It's not the men's fault. It is just how it is. But what we can do as a people is try and break these little cycles so that we can be happy, so that we can be capable of creating the family dynamics that we want for our kids. Most of us are ruining our relationships ourselves, just self-sabotage on a daily basis. And it's not even your sabotage. It's just your sabotage of your grandmother and your grandmother's mother and your mother and your aunties. It's just that kind of sabotage. It's not even your own sabotage because you just grew up in it. And that is why we say, be careful what you teach children. You don't want to teach your daughter to be this gentle girl and then everybody dies. Oh my God. Woo! Yeah? And then she just trusts everybody with her trust fund money. Eh? In 6 months, she's hella broke. Trusting. Her boyfriend that just met her that day when she was inheriting the money. You don't wanna, you don't want that. But, you want her to see what a strong woman looks like, what a smart woman looks like. So that, I think that that is why our parents substitute our lives with education, because they're hoping that somewhere along the way in education, we'll pick up a skill of some sort that would help us with our intelligence so that we are not as naive in the world as they were. Maybe. I'm just thinking about it, because at least if you go and study, you know, go and study and you are a whole entire mechanic, right? At least you'll know money management. Like, at least, you know, so that even if they die and they leave you inheritance, ne, there will be something inside you that is saying, I remember when my father used to go to work, those things will be like, it will be instilled in you, you know, like, at least. That's why they are saying, Kucha, we don't know how this thing is going to play out, but we're hoping it's going to play out for the better. We're trying to create homes and we're trying to create families, but we come from broken lineages. We come from circumstantial upraisings. We come from situations that we didn't ideally want. And they didn't want either, but that this is where we come from. But what I'm saying is, like, let's step into a different space and let's create a hybrid. Let's create a hybrid between the strong woman and the slay queen. Let's create a hybrid that's just in between and capable. She's capable of being a strong woman and she's capable of slaying. She's capable of softness, gentleness, and she's also capable of playing with the big boys. You understand? Like, let's create a hybrid so that we are not completely doomed and our children have something to look forward to. Because now if we are the slay queen, then we have 5-year-olds wearing crop tops on the internet, and I don't understand why. Why you guys are insisting on child pornography? Like, why? What's wrong with you? Why is your 5-year-old wearing a crop top? Like, why must her stomach be out? I don't get it. On Saturday, we went to watch Elu play. Elu is like an athlete now. You know, he's got one medallion. It's broken. He took it to school and went to play with it. It's broken. But anyways, so in the midst of all these children, I can tell you that every single child there was dressed like a child, decent child, just children. And then there was this one child. This child was dressed in a crop top and she was dressed in sneakers and she was dressed in like these gray tracksuits. Now, if you know anything about that, that is most the big girl look. That is our look. Hey, gray and black. Yeah, gray sweatpants and a black crop top. That's our look. With rastas until the buttocks. That's our look. This is what this child was wearing. And Crocs, right? You know, gray Crocs. When I tell you that these games, yeah, they were not for people that are above 10, guys. Like, for real. They were not people that, for people that were above 10. These people were playing with people that don't know which side is left and right. Or the game around. Eh? Like, teacher, must I serve the ball? Those are the people that are there. That's the class. That's the group. So you better believe that she's in that group as well. But my question is, you as a mom, you as a dad, you as an aunt, you as a guardian, why are you letting this child acquire this crop top in the first place? Like, is it babies having babies that are allowing babies to do things? Or what is this? Like, I don't get it. Because I don't understand. Yeah, I'm not letting my daughter wear a crop top, guys. Like, you will get to crop top age. You will go and wear your crop tops when you are 16. No problem. I'm not going to harass you. Maybe your father will harass you, but I'm not going to harass you, me. I'll pretend like I'm a cool parent. I'll be like, I'll tell Habibi Kucha, sir, Kwacharuka crop top. Kwacharuka crop top and no a cheese drink. Kalandela bache kwa Kalanda emwen. And then Habibi will go out there, what is this that you are wearing? Yes. And then I'll be like, oh, but all the other young kids are wearing, like, no. And I'll be like, it's your father. He said, don't wear, if it was me, because, you know, trying to gain favor. If it was me, I would just let you wear because you're a cool girl. But your father said, but I am the same one behind your back. Judas. I saw her texting, confiscate the phone. Then her baby goes, who are you texting? I'm like, but all young kids. I want to be the good parent. I want to be the good parent because I've always been the bad parent. I've always been the bad guy. I've always been the one that is reinforcing rules. I've always been the one that is, don't do that, don't do that. I've always been the one that when I walk there, everybody goes to bed now. I've always been that parent. And I also just want to be the cool parent. I want to be the liked parent also. But I don't want to be nobody's friend. I'll be my husband's friend. I don't want to be my children's friends. I want to be the snitch, but I want them to trust me with their information. Yeah. So, if we're trying to build families, if we're trying to build lives with these people, right? These men, these women. What we need to do is understand ourselves and where we come from. And understand which parts of ourselves are intense and which parts are beyond us. I think we need to show ourselves a little bit of grace when it comes to our patterns, our behavioral patterns. We have to give ourselves grace because we came into this world as clean and clear canvases and there was nothing there. Everything was put on. It was put on from society, from TV, from parents, from grandparents, from family, from school, from the cab driver. It was put on everybody else build us, right? And let's build these little safe havens, even in a matriarchal cycle problem. Because at some point, we have to give over the reins. We have to allow people to help us. Allow people to help you raise your children. Allow people to help you be in a better mental state. Allow people to help you with your work. Allow people to help you by loving you. But you can't be loved if you are constantly guns blazing of pure shots of bazookas and AKs. All right? So, let's take a quick breather and I'll be right back to come and wrap up.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lüderitz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Oulum nangeshefa noa haraku shivifa oma kuroe kupitira mohorike radio station ayo Eagle FM. Enya mukulu olongaha. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosho ipindi konorahita tuimwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mwamberewa konorahita tu natu, mbali oheta tu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Ninge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na opomone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal. Why do you give
a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
eye. Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than The Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to Pulling Heartstrings with the Matriarch here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the matriarchal cycle that happens in a woman's life. Not menstruation. No. Matriarchal.
Mm-hmm.
Like a matriarch, like me. Queen mother of the tribe. Now imagine in every single generation that you look at, all of them were just raised by single mothers. And how will you turn out? So let's go to the custody battle. Now this one is something that you guys have to look at nicely, listen attentively. Custody, the custody battle. Okay. The custody battle, ladies and gentlemen, is the battle between a mother and a father for the child. Now, here in Namibia, we say that the child is supposed to stay with the mother until the child is 18, if you guys split up. But you can go and contest it in court, in a court of law. You can go and contest it and say that you would like to see the child. You guys can get shared custody where it's 2 weeks there, 2 weeks there. 5 days here, 5 days there, whatever way works out better for you guys. But we see it a lot within this generation. We see it a lot with you guys. Like, you fathers are really stepping up. Round of applause to you guys. You guys are really stepping up. You guys are really wanting to be in your children's lives, participating and actively there. But the problem is the mother. The mother is just bitter, right? She's crazy. Right? She just hates my new girlfriend. Right? That's what you guys think. But the truth is, many of us don't take time to get to know one another truly and honestly as people. We are so, infatuated by the alcohol, by the chilling, by the not really asking real and valid questions when it comes to people. And we go and have children with these people and we have no idea what type of backgrounds they come from. Now, if your woman or if the woman that is the mother of your children comes from a matriarchal system, right? What do you expect? So you expect for her to fight tooth and nail for the kids. Tooth and nail. She knows that she has, and this is both the strong woman and the soft woman, right? She fights tooth and nail. Why is she fighting tooth and nail? She can't afford anything. She's going to probably live in the slums. She's going to move to the north with the kids. And it's just going to be a mess if she has the kids. She must just give the kids to me. That's what you're thinking. But she comes from a matriarchal cycle. Now, what would what would her reputation be within her family dynamics if she just willingly let you step away with her children? Her mother raised her children. Her grandmother raised her children. Her aunts raised her children. Her grandmother's aunties raised her children. Her grandmother's sisters raised her children. Every single woman within her family has raised her children. What are you expecting from her? You expect for her to also raise her children. And that is why they say, okenaro kutumwa. They come up with these proverbs, right? Because even if you are not present, the child still thrives. The child will still go forward. The child will still be a child. The child will still grow up to be a person. But it is now. How? How am I, that a person that is most now, I'm coming from a soft life, right? You gave me a soft life. I'm coming from a soft life and I've not worked for 20 years. You know, I've not worked for 10 years because we've been married maybe for what, 13 years. And the 3 years we decided we're going to have children. And then we realized that every single nanny is beating our kids and we don't want that. And so your job is not paying you 40K a month. So you can just leave that job of 1.5 and then just stay home with our kids. And it has worked out perfectly up until something happens within the relationship and the marriage is now dissolved. When the marriage is dissolved, it leaves you back at square one, where you don't have a source of income and also you don't have experience. So nobody is willing to hire you, the lawyer, that has not seen court in 10 years. Nobody is willing to hire you, the architect, that has not seen a drawing in 10 years. Nobody is willing to hire you, the accountant, right, that has not seen books in 10 years. Nobody's willing to hire you, the chef that has not seen the kitchen in 10 years and not done anything within the field in 10 years. So that's where you're stuck. So now you go back to your mother's house and obviously you want the kids. You don't have a job. You don't have a life. And basically it's all messed up and you feel trapped and stuck, but you know you don't want to be in the marriage. So the divorce proceedings go on and now it is custody. The reason that she's fighting for the children is because she doesn't know how to be without the children, because her whole entire lineage has been with their children, regardless of the poverty, regardless of not actually being the good fit when it comes to choosing parents, she's just not a good fit, you know? But every single woman in her family has raised their children. And part of this is that...
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Oulum nangeshefa, nwahara kushivifa oma akuroe kupitira mohorike radio station aweyo Eagle FM. Enya mukuro olongaha. Ninge kwa tafano na Monica kushikondosho ipindi kono raheta tuimwe, heari imwe, ne heari, imwe imwe no hamano. That is 0817147116. Mwamberewa kono raheta tu natu, mbali o heta tu vatatu, ne nola no natu. Nenge tumo emaila ku monica@eaglefm.com.na. Opo umone oshijemo shiri nawa.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry. But we're talking about the custody battle. Now, every single woman has raised their children in her family. How is she ever going to allow you to be the one to raise her children? It is not even because she wants the kids. It's not even because she loves the kids so much. It's just because it is a norm. It is what is supposed to be done. It is what we are used to. So now, the children end up suffering and living a very bad life. And part and parcel of the reason that they are living a bad life is because apparently you left the kids. Apparently, you left them. Apparently, you are a deadbeat. Apparently, you are the one that doesn't come through for them and you don't care about them and you're just infatuated by your new girlfriend and your new family that you went to create with this woman that is a stranger. And that is where, right? That is where the poison comes from. The poison comes from the fact that you as a woman know that the better fit here would be for the children to live with their father, because the father, one, has time for all the school activities. Two, the father is stable. Whereas you are maybe flaky. Let's say, hypothetically, you have a drinking problem and this person is the responsible parent, has been the responsible caretaker of the children. But you go and fight in court to be the one that has the children. You might be fighting for maintenance. You might be fighting just because it is really just within your nature to fight for your children, because everybody has their children and you don't see a life where you are not with your children, even if you don't appreciate them or notice them like that. It's just, they must just be with you. As long as you can see them running around, that's just where you are. Now the children suffer because they live in harsh conditions, because you put them in harsh conditions, because you could have given them to somebody that is capable of actually giving them a good life. But because you are presumed to be bitter or crazy or delusional, you live up to these titles. And as a result of the battles and the nasty things that are said within any court proceedings or within your conversations with the other party, you build a wedge. And this wedge is now the one that you poison the children. Women poison children. They poison children so much. They tell the children that their fathers don't love them and their fathers don't care about them. But truth is, their fathers don't hate their children. In fact, they love their children. They just don't like the mother anymore. And mothers can't stand this, because apparently this man is the one that destroyed our happy family. But if the man is the one that's calling for the divorce, then couldn't we say that you, ma'am, are the one that destroyed the whole entire family with your problem, with your whatever, with your loudness, with your infidelity, whatever the reason might have been. Women don't take accountability. And it is within their cycle, right, that you can determine whether or not this is a person that you can copulate with or not. Because you have to look at the mother. You have to look at the mother and ask yourself, okay, so this woman, how is she with the opposite gender? Or how is she with her husband? Now, if the husband is a dead man, you can ask, how was their relationship? How did, like, what was their relationship about? Then you get an idea and you ask about the grandmothers and the great grandparents, and you ask all that. That will determine how you're going to get old. That will determine if you are going to age well with this woman by your side, if you are going to build with this woman by your side. But many of us, we don't ask these things. We don't look at these things. We don't evaluate these things, because we are so lustful. We're so lonely. We're so desperate for relationships that we go and pop babies in every single relationship that we've been in. So if you've been in 5 relationships, so you've got 5 kids, because you want to normalize giving birth in every relationship, like every relationship that you have been in, or she, you don't know protection. And now we can also look back, because these are all inherited things. We don't want to admit it. We won't see it. We won't understand it. But you go to bed tonight and ask yourself, right? Real questions. You will look at your aunts and you will look at your mother and you will look at your grandmother in true honesty and really just see the lineage for what it is. Now, your great grandmother has a gang of kids. It's a gang of dudes. Everybody's having their own different surname. And then your grandmother has a gang of kids with different surnames also. Because if you are from the northern side, we take up our father's surnames. Whether they are married or not married, my dear, it's ownership. It's yours. Uh-huh. Then you see your mom. Gang of children. Different dudes. And then you see you. Mother of how many? How many fathers? It's all generational. But it does end. It ends. It ends with you. It ends with you and we have that kind of power. And in that power, we have to take our throne as women and we have to leave space and room for the man to take his throne as well. We have to somewhere, somehow, understand where they come from as well and understand where we come from. Because the only person that really suffers here is the next generation. We have lived our lives. The justice that we are fighting for in this generation is not justice that we are going to enjoy. We're never going to enjoy a government that is transparent. We're fighting for it and it will come, but we are never going to enjoy it. We're not going to enjoy a country of no violence. We're fighting for it, but we are not the ones that are going to enjoy it. We are not going to enjoy the fruit of our labor. We're just laborers here. The people that are going to enjoy it are the generations after us. The people that are going to enjoy it are the children of the generation behind us. They are the ones that are going to enjoy the benefits that we fight for today. So part of our fight, ladies and gentlemen, is to break a matriarchal cycle that is negative. To break a matriarchal cycle that is prone to put you in a bad position, whether you like it or not. There are pros and cons to every single situation in life, and that is something that you can take with a pinch of salt. But in its true essence and definition, right? Many of us don't want to die alone. We want to die in a bed where our husbands, know that we would never want our grandkids and our children to see us dirty and fragile and weak and helpless. So the minute you die, right, we want husbands that understand that before we call the family members, that's what we want. We want a man that is going to wipe you up nicely, clean you up, and fix your face so that even put on a little bit of lip gloss, my dear, no cracky lips. Hileni, my colleague here, Hileni was telling me about the time that she went for an operation. And she loves her lips. So she's one of those lips must always be moisturized kind of girls. Some of us are thugs, you know, like we just go in the world. It is what it is. So she's one of those, my lips must be moisturized kind of girls. So she says that before she went under, she told the nurse that if I die, please put lip gloss on my lips. I can't have people come and see me like that with crusty lips. Like, but not crusty lips. And that is what we want to go by. We want to live in a world where your spouse understands you and you understand your spouse and even little things like that, right? This is something that he can think of even in your absence. And even if you were fighting for dear life, my dear, wakinchika, oshimera, ombato, oshikeme punto tamwe hamo tamurikira, and all of that, and by the time you died, there was agony on your face. This man must fix it. This man must fix that agonizing look. He must fix your cringed hands, and he must make you look perfect for your family. Because that is what a spouse is supposed to be. We are supposed to coexist in harmony, in love, in kindness. We are supposed to birth. We are supposed to grow. We are supposed to enhance the beauty within each other. We are not supposed to be living by old traditions and customs that no longer serve us. We are not supposed to be living by generational curses that follow us simply because of our heritage and our DNA. We're not supposed to be living by that. And the sooner we figure that, you know what? I want to change. I want to be intentionally kind. I want to be intentionally gracious. I want to be intentionally forgiving. I want to be intentionally trying. Right? Then with that intention, it will come with routine. It will come and it will become a lifestyle so that your children grow up assuming that this is the norm, assuming that my parents walk in intentional kindness. My parents are kind to each other. My parents are loving to each other. My mother is the only one that got married in our whole entire family. But at least they grew up in what? In seeing it. Let us practice the things that we want. Let us understand. She's not broken. She just walks in an energy she's not supposed to walk in because some guy overstepped his boundaries somewhere, somehow, and created a cycle. Because somebody went the wrong direction, and this is what's left of his footprint. This is his footprint. Because if great-great-great-great-grandmother's husband was not abusive, was gentle and loving, then great-great-great-great-grandmother would have birthed all her children with this one person, would have been in a good relationship and in good standing, aka Namra, eh? Good standing. And the children that they would birth would have this example. And even when they went to pick men, they pick men similar to their father, because their father is what? Intentionally kind, intentionally gentle, intentionally present. Their mother is intentionally kind, intentionally present, intentionally loving. And then the generation after that would grow into the same thing. And then you find all of them have been scooped up. All of them have been married for 10 plus years. Everybody is living and walking within the cycle of a matriarch and a patriarch. Walking in boss power. Not just surviving. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you guys to practice intentional understanding this week. Intentional understanding, intentional everything. Intentional listening, intentional caring. Intentional. It must be intentional. I am intentionally having a conversation with matriarch, intentionally, because I choose. I'm not stumbling on it by accident like Facebook, where it's a comment and then all of a sudden we're having a full-blown conversation. No. It must be intentional. Good evening, matriarch. How are you? Have you been? Intentional. It must be by choice. And through this by choice, it becomes a lifestyle. I am intentionally choosing to be sober. I am intentionally choosing to be more active as a parent. I'm intentionally choosing to help with homework. I know it's not easy there by homework. Not because you don't know, but because you don't want. I know. It's not easy. I know. Or I'm intentionally choosing to choose the part that doesn't help with homework. May I wash dishes? Then you help with homework. We help each other. If we want things to work, then we have to acknowledge things. Look back. Look back at your fathers. Look back at your father's brothers. Look back at your grandfather. Look back at your grandfather's brothers. Look back at your great-grandfather. Look back at their brothers. What type of men were they? And what is a quality that I possess? Can we speak truth? From the history we know, there's no family member that, there's no family that doesn't tell the bad also. There's always that one that tells the bad. That says, oh, your grandfather called you Shipunave. Your grandfather was very nice with many women. And you ask yourself, okay, so if my grandfather had many women, and then my father has many women, and I have many women, could it be something that I can break? Could it be something that's not really me because I'm really just a monogamous person, but because this was the cycle that was created before me, I'm stuck in a loop? Ask yourself. Ask yourself if you are really like that, or it's because where you come from, everybody's identical to you. Ask yourself those questions. When you ask yourself those questions, you will find an answer. And the answer might not be pretty. Ne? If you're not lying, the answer is not pretty. But the good thing is that you're still here. You're still alive. Breathing. So that means you have an opportunity to change it. Because your son is going to be a liker of skirts, whether you like it or not. If you have two or three sons, one of them will be a liker of skirts. But then also, the liker of skirts also dies of AIDS. The liker of skirts doesn't have guidance when it comes to the skirts, because you are still your parents' child. And part of it is that nobody had a sex talk with you. So you are most likely not going to have a sex talk with him. And he's going to be eating bananas in the hospital while you guys go and visit him. If you still have a wife. So let's go back. Let's go back for the sake of going back. Not because we are amazing and the matriarch is what. No. Let's go back. Let's go back and find ways, right, to balance ourselves and to understand life as we know it. And maybe we'll figure it out, this life thing. Maybe we will crack the code. Maybe we'll crack the code. But if we don't crack the code, let's at least stumble upon it. Ladies and gentlemen, from me, the matriarch, I bid you guys farewell. I love you forever and a day. And I have a pleasant surprise for you guys, but don't say I didn't warn you.
Audio mnangeshefa no hara kushivifa oma kuro e kupitira mohoriki radio station ayo Eagle FM. Enya mukuro olongaha. Ningekwata fano na Monica kushikondosha ipindi kon norahita tuimwe.